Before I begin to speak to you about this morning's topic, let's look to the Lord with prayer, shall we? Father in heaven, we are glad to be in your house again today, and we look for your Holy Spirit to speak to us. As we're discussing this concept of natural church development, we want to follow your Holy Spirit's leading because we believe that he desires to speak to us. Open our hearts and help us hear him. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know that we're going through a process called natural church development, and we've learned through that our area of focus is gift-oriented ministry. And so we asked you, we said to you, what do you think some of the roadblocks to gift-oriented ministry are at Kermansville Alliance? We had the meeting in January. We had two meetings in January. At one of those meetings, we collected over 500 pieces of information from you as a congregation. When I thought about that, I thought, no wonder it took the church health team so long to sift through that and assimilate all that data. And in there, we learned things from you. You said to the church health team, you said that there are really, the roadblocks break into a number of groups. The three most prominent are these. Number one, knowledge about the gifts. I don't know what my gift is. I know what my gift is, but I don't know how to use it. I don't know where my gift fits in. And just that concept of knowledge we talked about, that's a roadblock. A second roadblock that you spoke of is organization and communication of ministry in general. Like, how do we do this? I didn't even know there was a camp out last night. There's a church picnic and on the 25th and a canoe thing on the 18th. How, I didn't know that. And so we're addressing that as well. The third thing you said, and you said this very loudly, you said in those things was, we lack spiritual depth. How about that? This isn't me saying, boy, you guys lack spiritual depth. This is one another. We were just real honest when we put that down, and we said, there's really a lack of spiritual depth here. Now, we can handle this in a number of ways. We could begin a long study on the gifts of the Spirit, and that would be good. And what we will do is study on the gifts of the Spirit and help you understand what your gift is. And we can rethink the way we're organizing ministry and communicating about ministry. In fact, we're already doing that to some degree. But if we just did those two things without addressing the third roadblock you mentioned, without addressing the spiritual depth issue, that would probably be of no value. I know what my gift is. I just don't have any commitment to exercise it. You understand? And so we want to talk about it. And in your Sunday school this morning, your teacher gave you a paper, maybe some of the classes discussed it, about a number of spiritual disciplines that will help you, because that's what we want to do. We can't force you to be deep spiritually. That doesn't work. We just want to help you, provide for you ways to grow spiritually, ways to deepen your walk with God. And one of the ways we're doing that is we're going to talk about half a dozen spiritual disciplines. That is, things you can do, habits you can form, practices you can engage in that will help you develop a deeper relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And so that's what I want to address this morning. I'm going to address the first one of these, and we're calling it personal devotions. Personal devotions. Now, I was hard-pressed to find a working definition of personal devotions. I looked a number of places and couldn't find one, so I wrote my own. This is what I'm talking about this morning. This is the spiritual discipline I'm talking about this morning. Personal devotions is a time when you get alone with God and read his words and perhaps take in something someone else has written about that. Okay? So it's a time, it's a regular time, a daily kind of thing, where you get alone with God and the Bible and maybe another text, and you absorb what God wants to say to you, what the Holy Spirit wants to say to you, what he wants to do in your life. Now, there's a number of ingredients need to go into that time that you have with God. One of those ingredients is you have to set up the time regularly, a regularly scheduled kind of thing, when that's all you're doing. You can't do your personal devotions while you're watching a Penn State game. It just doesn't work, right? You can't do it while you're watching the news. You really need to shut everything else out and read that, do that time alone with God. A second ingredient in this is that you really need a significant portion of God's Word to be involved in it. I'm going to talk to you about a number of accessories to God's Word, so extra things that you can bring in when I get toward the end of my talk this morning. But God's Word needs to be central in your devotions, and it needs to be a significant portion. Pastor Steve, what do you mean by a significant portion? You mean I have to read a chapter a day? That might work. How about 2 chapters a day? Well, I don't know. I've heard if I read 3 chapters a day, I can get through the Bible in a year. That's what I'll do, 3 chapters a day. I would give you this counsel, and this counsel I received my rookie year in ministry from Dr. Charles Shepson. Dr. Shepson said this: when you do your devotions and you open the Word of God, read until you sense that God has spoken to you, and then close the book. So if you open it, and in the very first verse, you read, maybe you read, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And you're like, "Oh, and I was worried about my job." Close the book. You heard from God. You don't need to read the next 3 Psalms, you know. But if you open it up and it says, "And Abadiah begat so-and-so, begat so-and-so," you might want to keep on reading. You understand? Until you hear from God. That's an important ingredient. So first, you need time alone with God. Second, you need the Word of God. And the third thing you're going to need, if you're doing devotions, is an open heart. You need to have a heart that is open to hear from God. Let me be real clear on this. Don't read the Bible to see what it's saying about someone else's behavior. Don't do that. Don't open it up and say, "Oh, yeah, boy, I sure hope that so-and-so is reading this." Don't do that. They're personal devotions, so they're personally for you to hear from God. And if you want to have spiritual depth, if you want to have any spiritual stature, so to speak, you need to incorporate those 3 ingredients in a daily routine. Let me tell you why you should have devotions. And I just want to share these very quickly. I'm going to share some scriptures in a moment. But, you know, have anyone seen the movie Amazing Grace that was in theaters a couple weeks ago? Just Wendy and Shelley. Okay. In that, I believe it speaks of William Wilberforce. Is that correct, Wendy? William Wilberforce was a parliamentarian in England who led the movement to ban the slave trade. Powerful, powerful man. Changed the world. Listen to this quote from him. He says, and it's kind of old-fashioned language, so you'll have to put on your King James ears for a minute, okay? "This perpetual hurry of business and company ruins me in soul, if not in body. I suspect I have been allotting habitually too little time to religious exercises, as private devotion and religious meditation, scripture reading, etc. Hence, I am lean and cold and hard. I had better allot 2 hours or an hour and a half a day. I have been keeping too late hours and hence have had but a hurried half hour in the morning to myself. Surely the experience of all good men confirms the proposition that without a due measure of private devotions, the soul will grow lean." Yeah. Why should I do devotions? Because your spirit dries up if you don't do them. Because your soul grows lean and gaunt. Now, it's just logical that devotions need to happen. If you're going to have a relationship with God, you're going to need to hear from Him. Any relationship requires communication. Last evening, as we're sitting under the stars out at the Robacker Farm, gathered around there, the men who were there happened to say that, and they agreed, that each of us needs to meet together more frequently than just on a Sunday morning. That if we're going to have a relationship, that can't happen in the 90 minutes we hang around this building, or if you happen to come to Sunday school, in the 2.5 hours we hang around here on a Sunday morning. The getting together with one another on a more personal basis is how relationships will happen. It's that way with human beings. It's that way with God. If you want a relationship with God and you've come to a place where you've received the forgiveness of sin because you've trusted in Christ, that relationship depends largely on you hearing from Him regularly, not just on Sunday mornings. As Christians, we call ourselves followers of Christ. And following requires knowing where the leader is going. You got to know what he has in mind. That following requires hearing His instructions. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 are life verses for a number of people. Verses 1 and 2 say this, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life, your years, and bring you prosperity." Cool. I got to hear what the leader has to say and not forget what he's saying. And following him requires doing what he says. James chapter 1 speaks very clearly in verse 22. It says, "Do not be merely listeners of the word, and so deceive yourself. Do what it says." So I'm reading God's word on a daily basis, and it speaks to me about my need to forgive someone. Do what it says. Following someone requires giving careful thought to what they're saying. The word of God is the same. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or sit in the seat of mockers, or stand in the way of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." So if I'm doing my devotions, I want to follow God, then I'm not just reading it like the paper, thinking about, okay, what does that mean? To not sit in the seat of mockers. What does that mean to me? Following requires sometimes committing instructions to memory. You know, have you ever had somebody working for you, and that person, you tell them like five things to do, and they go do one of them, and then they come back and say, "Now, what were the other four things?" That person's not going to last very long there, is he? You know, we want to commit to memory what God tells us to do. Psalm 119, 9 and 11 says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word." And then verse 11 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart so I might not sin against you." So devotion, sometimes you're reading something in your devotions, you're like, "Whoa, that stands out. I think I'll memorize that verse." I memorized Proverbs 3, 9 and 11 years ago because I was a young man wanting to keep my heart pure. Following requires becoming skilled in swordsmanship. You know that the Bible is called a sword. It's a two-edged sword, sharp, pierces right through you. Listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 119 about the Bible. He says, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to the taste, sweeter than the honey of my mouth, to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path." Just soaking in the Word of God, understanding it, making it part of your life. Now I want to give you some examples of personal devotions, if I could. And I need four ushers. Did you prep them on this, Lloyd? Great. So if you four men would please come. And I have a gift for everyone today. Well, for every family today. I have seventy of these. It looks like there's about 120 of us, so try to give one or two per family, if you would. And I guess, Vern, you're going to take care of this front fourth, and you're going to go halfway back and take the back fourth. And Bob, you can start with Mrs. The Hat Lady. Yeah, Mrs. Bowman. I'm sorry, Janine. It slipped my mind. We love your hats, Janine. They're beautiful. While they're handing these out, let me just tell you about some sources for personal devotions, okay? One of them I'm holding in my hand right here. You can find really well-written devotional books sometimes. This happens to be a book called Days of Heaven on Earth by A.B. Simpson. A.B. Simpson was a Presbyterian pastor who founded a little missionary society. What was the name of it? What became the name of it? Oh, the Christian and Missionary Alliance. That's you and me. Yeah. Just over 100 years ago, he founded the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And you can get a book that has, like, if I turn here, it says February 5th, Psalm 38, Rest in the Lord. And I would read this on February 5th. And on February 6th, I'm going to read Pray Always for the Saints. And I can read that. So you can find a lot of good books like that to use. Oh, no, you guys, I didn't get one for myself. Hey, Bob Loeb, can you bring one of those up to me? Great. That would be great. I could steal yours, Brennan, but I won't. Thank you, Bob. Hey, let's just open this randomly, okay? Let's open this to day 32. Let's do that, okay? This is what my family used when I was a kid growing up. My mom had me trapped every morning at the breakfast table eating a sack of pancakes as a kid. And she would read this, and then Dad would pray, and I would eat throughout that time. Okay? All right. Look at how day 32 says. It's called spiritual jotting. You're supposed to read Psalm 119, verses 97 through 100. So there's your Bible reading. And there's a little key verse there, pray without ceasing. And then he says, I met many young mothers who blah, blah, blah. And he talks about that. Down at the bottom, I guess it's her, it's Joni Yoder writing this. Down at the bottom, there's a poem. Often that's a verse from a hymn. And then a pithy saying at the bottom. This one's by Cooper. It says, if we seek God in the minutes, we will find him in the hours. That would be what you would do on day 32. This is a sample edition. Radio Bible Class has their address on the back. You can write and they'll send you these regularly. By the way, I would say to you that Radio Bible Class, a lot of people feel like they must have some kind of underwriter. They don't. They work on gifts from people like you who use this regularly. So if you begin to use it, you'll want to begin to help support that ministry because it's very valuable. There's a number of other ones like this. Oh my goodness, I had a sermon and I lost it. There it is. Okay. By the way, some other books you might get, I don't know, the Alliance Women a few year or two ago used something from Hannah Whitehall Smith called The Christian Secret of a Happy Life for devotional reading. Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. How many have used that? Anybody? Yeah, a number of people have. Yeah, it's good stuff, okay? There's other subscription things. This Daily Bread comes in a campus journal thing. It's a great gift to give to somebody going off to college, and they can have their personal devotions as well. I want to show you some online sources, and that's why I asked Russ to keep the screen up, or down, I guess I should say. And if you go to this website, to KerwinsvilleAlliance.org, that's our church website, you'll see up toward the top there, right under the words, Knowing God and Making Him Known, you'll see Personal Devotions. And if you click there on Personal Devotions, it will bring up a list of potential sites where you could go. The first one is at the Christian and Missionary Alliance website. It's Tozer Devotionals, and I've already loaded these, so I'll just click through them. This is A.W. Tozer, who was born in Les Jost, just down the road here, one of the most famous authors of the last century. His Saturday, June 30th devotion, when I loaded these yesterday, was Rut, Rot, or Revival, Chapter 4. And you can read that. I would encourage you to read Scripture as he references it. At the bottom, he references 1 Corinthians 5 and 11. The next one here, oh my goodness, it's not going to work. There it is. On the Alliance website also, there's a Simpson devotional, and that's just like the book that I showed you a few moments ago. I found this one. It's Moody Bible Institute. They have an excellent site. They give you an overview for the month, and then you can come down here as you read it. Is that right? Actually, this is the day. I'll go back a page. If you go to the link on our website, they give you an overview for the month. It's not going to go back. And then you can click the specific day. So that's valuable. Our Daily Bread, which you have in your hand there, that comes online also. And if you have trouble seeing it, you can make the text bigger. None of this is going to work, though. There it is. And you can read that. Morning and Evening, this is a fellow named Spurgeon, Charles H. Spurgeon. A lot of people like his stuff. Back to the Bible has a neat site. They have Woodward Kroll. And, of course, Dr. Kroll is the one who wrote our ladies' Bible study that's happening Monday evenings. They use his material. Actually, Back to the Bible has a page, if you follow the link on our church website, a page with a whole bunch of people. And that's not going to load. Yes, it is. Elizabeth Elliott is there, Theodore Epp, just excellent people. So you can see there's a ton of ways that you can do devotions. You could go to those websites every day. If you're familiar with RSS, you could RSS them in. Most people just say, sign me up for the daily email. And they get the email, and that's how they would use that. Whatever you do, I would encourage you to do it. I can remember when I was a young pastor, this thought occurred to me. It was so sobering to me. It just struck me one day that many, many people who sit in my church, all the more spiritual nourishment they get is the 60 minutes or 80 minutes they're sitting there on Sunday morning, and all the more Bible they get is the 30-minute sermon that I'm giving them. And that was frightening to me as a pastor, because I thought, I better take good advantage of that 30 minutes and make sure it's coming from the Bible if this is all they're getting. But it should be frightening to the person, too, that all they're getting is 30 minutes to last them for 7 days. When I was in Phoenix at General Council a couple of years ago, you know, Phoenix is in the desert. It's very hot there. And we were getting a rental car. Laurel and I were going to head out. We had some free time. And I went up to the concierge, I like to say that word, in the hotel, and I was going to get the rental car. There was an older couple in front of me, probably an older pastor and his wife. I didn't recognize them. And I wasn't eavesdropping. Okay, I was eavesdropping. And I heard him say, "My wife needs to go to the emergency room." And the concierge said, "Why?" And he said, "Because she's experiencing dizziness." And the concierge got this sort of knowing look on her face and with great gentleness said, "I can get you to an emergency room, but let me ask you a question if I could. How much water are you drinking?" "Oh, lots." "What do you mean, lots?" And this older woman said, "Well, in the morning I have a glass of water and coffee with breakfast and juice. And then at lunch I have the water they bring at lunch. And then at supper I drink a glass of water too." And she went, "Oh, honey, where are you from?" "New York." "Well, you're in the desert here. And this 105 degree heat with a humidity of 10% is pulling all the water out of your body. It's pulling it out like crazy. And you need to drink 8 to 10 glasses just to survive here. Do you understand me? Let me get you some water. And if you want to go to the ER, I can take you. But your problem is, you're drying up, and you need water." Do you see the application for us? We live in a world that is spiritually dry, a world that is 105 degrees with a relative humidity of 10%, spiritually speaking. And you can walk out of here with the glass of water you receive every Sunday morning, and it'll be gone by Sunday evening. And you need refilled. You need constantly to be pulling in the water of God's Word, living water, so that you can be healthy. I would really encourage you as we come to the Lord's Supper today, and as you evaluate, you know, am I? Those 500 pieces of information, are they speaking about me? Am I lacking spiritual depth? And is it because I'm not in God's Word hearing from Him? And if it is, as you receive this bread and this cup this morning, speak to God and say, "God, I really need to hear from you in your word. I will begin to do devotions." Everybody has a little booklet, right? That's an easy start for you. Try it out. Use whatever works for you, and have God feed you that way.